You are listening to 91.5 FM. WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. It is Friday. We want to thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. Pray that you have already made plans to worship in the house of the Lord. So I was sharing with our congregation here a few weeks ago a message on, you know, guarantees of the presence of God, and God is omnipresent. So wherever you are, His presence is available to you. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, so that would be another guarantee. You get in the Spirit, and the presence of the Lord is going to be right there. But I was sharing, and as I was studying, I learned something as well, and that is that it's not something that I didn't know. It's just that I did not know the Greek word that was in there, and where Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 through 20, he says, wherever two or three are gathered together, in the midst of, I am in the midst of them. And that word gathered together is the Greek word from which we get the word synagogue. And so a synagogue is a gathering place, a place of meeting, if you will, where we come together with the goal of worshiping God, hearing the Word of God, and studying the Word of God, and having fellowship with one another. And it's a place where the Word of God is elevated. And so I pray that as you are gathering this weekend with other believers, that you would find the presence of Jesus there. Don't just go to fulfill a religious duty. Go with the goal of experiencing the presence of Jesus. That is our main objective every week, is that people would enter into the presence of God and experience the presence of God, so we leave transformed for the glory of God. Today we're going to, by the way, if you do not have a church home, maybe you're new to the area, we would love to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida, where our mission statement is to be a blessing, to be a blessing to God, to be a blessing to our family, to be a blessing to the church, and to be a blessing to the community in as many areas of life as we possibly can be. That sounds like a church you'd like to be a part of. We'd love, we'd be honored, thrilled to have you come and worship with us. 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island. Today I want to take you back to 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 21, and we will read on down to verse number 24. It says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us." So a lot of times whenever people are looking at this, and we're studying right now, the things that God wants to teach us and instruct us in His Word, primary focus right now is that He teaches us to abide in Christ. Most of the time when you are talking about keeping commandments, the focus is on us, that, you know, okay, this is what I've got to do. This is, it's an imperative. It's not optional. So I know that I must do this. I need to do this. But we tend to focus on our effort, on our intentions, and I want to kind of shift the focus of that because the key is really the abiding in him. It is living in Christ and Christ living in us. That's one of the things that we see in verse number 24. Now, he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he, Christ, in us. So abiding in Christ causes us to have the same attitude towards the commandments of God that Jesus had. And that is, we delight to do his will. We desire to do his will. We persevere to do his will. So the abiding in him changes our inclination towards the commandments, where we are not inclined to disobey, not inclined to ignore his commandments, but instead we are inclined toward his commandments. So that makes the abiding in Christ makes fulfilling the commandments of God a manifestation of our relationship with Jesus. It's not that we have a relationship with Jesus because we keep his commandments. Because we have a relationship with Jesus and are abiding in him, it means that we are now empowered by the grace of God to do everything that God wants us to do. So, what is that commandment? It says, and this is his commandment, not Bob's commandment. It's not your pastor's commandment. It's the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we should believe on the name. This is the commandment of the Father, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. So I was looking up something for an email that I had received. They were wanting me to submit some information to them about myself, and so I was actually looking for a picture. I was looking for a photograph, and I know it's there someplace. There's a few of them out there, and I couldn't find any of them on my computer. And so I started looking on the internet to see if they popped up on the internet, because of, you know, everything seems to show up on the internet. And as I typed in my name, I found out that there was another person that had a very, very similar name, who had been in radio a long before I was ever around. And I was like, well, that's really interesting. I don't think he was on Christian radio, but I don't know anything about him. Just discovered that connection that was there. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, this is not about my name. It's not about that guy's name. The Refresh Radio program doesn't exist so that I have something to do with my time. It's because I abide in Christ, and Christ opened this door. I didn't even consider opening the door. And all of a sudden, the door was open, the invitation was extended, and the first thing that I told the person when they asked me if we would consider doing this 8:30 of a morning and 5 o'clock of an evening and 10:30 of a morning over on WWBC 1510 AM was, well, let me pray about it, and let me see what, you know, the board of the church has to say. And so it's not about my name. It's not even about the name of Merit Assembly of God. It's about the name of Jesus. Jesus is our commander in chief. The orders that he gives, the commandments that he issue, are not to be debated. They're to be obeyed. So what is this primary commandment that we are given? And it is this, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, that when we go forth in the name of the Lord, that we are going forth not to defeat, we're going forth to victory. We are not going forth on our own power, under our own resources, but instead we are going forth as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes all of the difference. My faith is not in my praying. My faith is in the one I pray to. My faith is not in my studying. It's in the one who wrote the book, who is the Word of God personified. I believe in him. I believe in his word. I believe in his promises. I believe in his knowledge. I believe in his power. I believe in his spirit. It changes the way that we live. Because we abide in him, and he has declared that he is eternal. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the process in between. All of my faith is in him. I believe that he is able to keep that. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which has been committed unto him against that day. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus' ability to save the lost. I believe in Jesus' ability to heal the sick, to fill the saints with God the Holy Spirit. I believe that he is able to empower us, and that he's able to lead us, that he's able to break every stronghold for the glory of God. I believe in him. And because I abide in him, the onus of responsibility, all I've got to do is stay in relationship with him. Because I'm in relationship with him, it never leaves my mind that I'm in relationship with the greatest person that I could ever be in relationship with. When you realize that you're in the best place that you could possibly ever be, having been in some of the worst places that you could ever be, then all of a sudden it is a moot point when it comes to considering whether or not you're going someplace else, because I'm not. I'm going to stay in Jesus. There was a thing I was studying here probably a year ago, and it says, as you study the Word of God, you see that there were a number of times when there was mankind was set up for a perfect reality, and each and every time man chose sin over perfection. There was Adam and Eve in the garden. There was Noah and his sons. And Noah, the one who had found grace, who had found favor in his sight, you know, ends up getting intoxicated shortly after, you know, emerging from the ark. And, you know, then all of a sudden there's consequences being passed down to his children's family. And then if you look in Revelation, you are going to find that Jesus is going to come and rule and reign for 1,000 years. And after 1,000 years, mankind's going to get to choose. Do you want 1,000 years of, you know, do you want this perfection to perpetuate, to continue, or do you want to resort back to evil? And in each of those those occurrences, Adam, Noah, and in the book of Revelation, mankind chose sin each and every one of those occasions. Well, there are a lot of temptations that I recognize that the price tag is more than I'm willing to pay. And, you know, if eggs have been one of those things that it's like, no, I really don't need that many eggs. That's kind of pricey. I don't do those things. If the price tag is too much, if it's going to cost me something that I can't afford, then I say no to it. And if the price tag of sin causes me consequence in my relationship with Jesus, then that price tag is too high. So because I abide in him, I keep his commandment. There's a conjunction there. It's the word and. So the commandment has another side effect. So I abide in him, which is positional. I believe on him, which impacts both my spirit and my mind, my will, and my emotions. And the second half of this commandment impacts my actions. The action is this: love one another as he gave us commandment. In this day and time where relationships are treated as disposable, where people are trying to redefine love to a man standard instead of a God standard, and man standard is always self-centered, God's standard of love is self-sacrificing. Love is not, it is a decision, but it's more than a decision. It is an emotion, but it's more than an emotion. Love is an action of spiritually motivated living because we abide in Christ. And it demonstrates itself by this action that we love one another. Not just when things are going well, but when things are going difficultly. There's challenges. There are a lot of people who are there to be with you in the good times. If you look in Luke chapter 15 at the prodigal son, the youngest son had all sorts of friends, all sorts of buddies, as long as he was footing the bill, as long as he was paying the price. But when he ran out of resources, he found out all those people who wanted to be around him when he was paying for it, all of a sudden, when he was out of resource, they were done with him. And the only people, or the only creatures he could hang around with, was a bunch of pigs. And they were eating, he wasn't. He said, "I remember a time in my life when I had it way better than this. My dad treats his servants better than this guy treats me. I wonder if I could go back and repent and if my father would have me as a servant." And so he goes back to his father and he finds out his father's not interested in him as a servant, but he's extremely interested in him as a son. Abiding in Christ helps us to love the people who have done us the most harm, who've injured us. I know people who have very vivid memories of the wounds that have been inflicted upon them, but have little to no awareness of the wounds they've inflicted upon other people. And because they remember the wounds that have done to them, they tend to move from one relationship to another relationship to another relationship to another relationship. They're just constantly on the move because they're never going to find a relationship that isn't at some point in time going to create some discomfort and some challenge. Love doesn't bolt. It doesn't leave for the door the first time or the second time that you hit a bump in the road. That if that's the case, you're not in a relationship, you're actually at an intersection. A lot of people go through life, and you see this, probably the easiest place to see this is in Hollywood, where all of a sudden two people are cast to be in this movie and they're hanging out together and they're at this intersection and they say, "Well, this is a great relationship." And as long as they are working on that project, then everything is going great. They're spending almost all their time together. But in Hollywood, you move from one project to another project and you don't continue to have the same cast in every movie because people get bored seeing the same cast in every movie. And then when you realize that project you've been on is over and the path still continues and you're on one project and now this new relationship you're in is on a different project, And now you're at a different intersection. And then all of a sudden people say, well, I like the relationship at this intersection better than I like the relationship at the last intersection. When, if you're going to do relationships, you need to make sure that you're not at an intersection. You're merging two roads together that are both aimed at getting to the ultimate destination of the presence of Jesus for all of eternity. So there are some roads here in the state of Florida where they're independent roads at some point in time, and at a particular juncture they merge, and they are from that point forward known as both intersections, as both highways. And so I hope that is a reality for you and for me. So verse number 24, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, that would be in Jesus, and he, Jesus, in us. So if we are abiding in him, there is an external manifestation of that abiding that comes or that reveals itself through obeying his commandments. Obeying his commandments is an external indicator that the relationship is healthy. And so if we're disobeying the commands that God has issued to us, it shows that there is an unhealthy dynamic in the relationship, and that is not an unhealthy dynamic on God's part. It's an unhealthy dynamic on our part. It means that we need to repent. We need to ask him to have lordship over an area of our life, whatever area of life it is that is manifesting this deficiency, and say, God, I want to abide in you more than I want to retain sovereignty on my own without you in this area. I need you. So what is abiding in him and him abiding in us? How does the him abiding in us manifest itself? Well, 1 John chapter 3 concludes with this: and by this we know that he abides in us. Okay, so the fact that he is living inside of us manifests this way. It's a spiritual manifestation. By his Spirit, capital S, that means it's the Holy Spirit of God. It is God the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. The Holy Spirit is given to guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit is given to point us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is given to us to teach us all things, convict us when we need convicting. He bears witness with our spirit. The Holy Spirit intercedes. And he also, the Holy Spirit has been given to us not just as a seal, but the Holy Spirit empowers us to be witnesses. Jesus said, in the upper room, he breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. When you are saved, there is a giving of the Holy Spirit that seals us for the day of redemption. It is the seal is evidence that we've asked Jesus to forgive us our sins and be the Lord of our life. We also believe that there is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit where he says, I'm not only here to confirm your status as the redeemed of the Lord, but I'm here to empower you to reach other people so that they can know Jesus is the Lord of their life. So in the book of Acts, when it says, and you shall receive power to be my witnesses, that word witness is also the word from which we get martyr. If we are going to be effective in our witnessing for him, There are going to be times when our schedule, our itinerary, the things that we had planned comes to an end so that we can embrace the glorious privilege of sharing Jesus Christ with someone who desperately needs to hear them. I remember a person, and they were really invested in this one particular project, and the timing of that project was coming to the climax of the situation. They were watching, they'd been watching this television program, and this was going to be the season finale. And they were watching it. They'd been watching it for a while. It wasn't just the season finale, it was the series finale. And right at that point in time, someone said, "Can we talk? Can we talk about the things of God?" And at that point in time, the thing which you can now see on reruns took a back seat so a conversation about heaven could take place. That's how important the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is shouldn't be treated like an item on the buffet bar. We want all of God the Father we can have. We want all of God the Son, Jesus Christ, as we can have. We want Him living in us to the fullest extent of that is possible. Why would we treat God the Holy Spirit any less valuable? When Jesus said it was expedient for us that He go to the Father, because if He didn't go to the Father, the Holy Spirit wouldn't be sent. He said, Jesus does everything that is in our best interest to thrive in our relationship with God. And one of those elements is as we abide in Him, we fulfill His commandments. As He abides in us, He gives us the Spirit of the living God. And that is a great gift. Every gift that the Father gives is a good gift. It is a perfect gift. May the same Spirit who quickened Jesus or raised Christ from the dead, may He quicken your mortal bodies. May He quicken my mortal bodies. May He empower us to represent Jesus well in 2025. You have a great weekend. Hopefully we'll see you at church. If not, we'll see you Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Waylon Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Waylon specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Waylon Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit waylonduff.kw.com. Waylon Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.